see you do it.
Ow.
We are. We're jumping back on the recording. What's up, Dean?
What's up, man?
What's up, Dean?
How are you feeling?
Good, man.
What?
James.
I can't hear your
test. I told you I was going to run. That's not like an Amish on the fucking.
All right, y'all, we're going to jump in. We're hopping back on the recorder. So something we tested out a few months ago. And we found a lot of value in listening back to the conversations that we had, and we haven't done them since being in this round robin format. So I'm really interested to kind of have this archive of, you know, STP in 2024 and beyond. We're kicking off another meeting. I think I see a couple new faces in here today. Maybe just one. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, Allison. I was invited by my new friend Stephanie, and I'm happy to be here. And yeah, I'm a painter. I'm also starting to write, and that's undefined at this time. And yeah,
great.
I live in Queens.
Amazing.
Nice to meet you.
Awesome.
Well, we are happy to have you here. We are Serving the People, a nonprofit organization that hosts weekly in-person meetings right here every Wednesday from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. We have just launched a meeting in London about a month and a half ago, and LA actually tonight. We'll be moving to Milan, Mexico City, and I think that's it for now, but continuing to spread. And yeah, these meetings vary between a couple different formats: open topic discussion, what we're gonna do tonight, more of a theme topic discussion, and then presentations. Last week we had a really incredible presentation. Went a bunch of different places. We really we enjoyed to listen. But there's a WhatsApp group you can get involved in if you're not already in it. Find anybody in this room who's in it already, and they can get you in there. We have no membership fees or requirements, but we do rely on the support of our members to keep these meetings going. So I'm going to pass around this little Dunkin' coffee cup with our Venmo on it. And if you have any cash and feel inclined today to donate, we'd appreciate it. Leave it over there. Some final things are just to make sure that we put our chairs back at the end of every meeting and be respectful of everybody chatting today. We want to try to get through everybody to hear what we're working on, what's inspiring us, and what we're kind of struggling with. So if there's anybody who has a burning desire to lead us off, otherwise I can.
What is Sharon?
Yeah, just Sharon.
I'm down.
All right, let's go. Rock and roll.
Hello, everybody. Those who don't know me, my name is Jacob. I came here my first time 2 weeks ago, and it was like crazy. Just got a crazy 7-year toxic relationship, got sober. Been under a rock for a long time, and I started getting on my creative side. And 2 weeks from now, it's been fucking amazing. This is my new best friend, James. He really helped me out. Found me on his fire escape, running away from the police and all that situated. But he got me into my creative side. And even this, my first meeting, I got to share some spoken word, and it unleashed a lot of built up tension that I had. And this circle is just so amazing. In the last 2 weeks, I've just done a lot of painting stuff. Started selling my clothes in the street and stuff, and just trying to like get at it, throw everything up the wall, see what sticks. And like, it really like, it's just, I'm really in awe right now still. And a big piece of it is this meeting too, the things I hear and seeing that other artists as us go through struggles, and not just, oh, my painting's not good or I don't like it, but like at home, fucking hate my life, struggles, and it's stuff like this that like, it's all about the community. Like I didn't do it myself. It wasn't just him. It's the community, and like, I've been here for a year, and I've just been going straight to work and back home, and it's just, I've been talking to people and just really listening, and it's been just a whole fucking new world, and it's awesome. And compared to my first time here, I'm like, I'm in a really good place right now mentally, and that's because of every one of y'all, and you know, just really embracing that side and the struggles of an artist and showing that it exists. But yeah.
Thank you, Rev.
Hold on a little bit.
I'm James. I have been working on a new painting and exploring materials, like Every acrylic painting I've made up until now, I haven't added an isolation coat in between the varnish. And it's just like a learning process to learn about like how to make paintings that will last. So I'm finally doing that, and it's so methodical to like have to wait 4 hours in between each isolation coat, and then wait 24 hours after that the varnish, and then like make sure it's a dust-free environment, and like look around the corner of the canvas and like scrape off each individual hair. So it's, you know, it's a new way of making work. And it's very methodical and it's very precise. And I think that that's something that's also been a gift of sobriety, is like not just throwing shit at the wall until it sticks, but throwing shit at the wall when I know it will stick. That's kind of a great feeling. For anyone who doesn't know already, I have a bunch of paintings up in a jazz club in Brooklyn called Ornithology Jazz. And it's a really great club with a lot of great music and great people. So you can find me on WhatsApp, or also talk to me after the meeting if you'd like to see the show and listen to some jazz some night.
Thank you, Jim. Wait, James, I'm curious, really quick. How much of your work prior to sobriety, like, did you meld those lines prior to sobriety of, like, drinking and painting, or, like, how much of your...
Yeah, like, completely. I mean, I first got involved in art when I took a lot of magic mushrooms and started drawing on a canvas with colored pencils, and I felt like my hand was going inside of the world of the canvas. So like my whole introduction to art was from an altered state, whether being a kid and like in the altered state of childhood, or then into early adolescence when I started experimenting with drugs, and mostly just a lot of copious amounts of marijuana. And I think a lot of it was about like ruining the painting and then pulling it back from that place and like repairing it and excavating it. And now like building something from the ground up in a constructed and strategic manner is like a new way of making work, which is not like worse or better, but just different. And I've been enjoying like making that work from that kind of methodical standpoint. I also used to work pretty large scale, but on unstretched, raw 12-ounce canvas. And I didn't prime it with gesso before. And if anyone knows about like Francis Bacon, the painter, he worked on ungessoed canvas, and he would actually reverse gessoed canvas and work on the unprimed layer. And now if you look at his paintings in museums, they're all behind museum glass and require heavy conservation because of that mode of working. So I'm trying to just like learn from people's past mistakes and make paintings that won't require a whole team of archivists and restorers to keep up.
So awesome. Thanks, Gal.
Use archival materials.
Yeah, exactly. Even like distilled water versus like tap water.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's Jan.
Thank you.
Hi guys, I'm Tracy. I'm a textile artist. I guess I've been kind of feeling like the freelancer like blues lately. I try to not like get so low, but I feel like sometimes that's just like a given. But yeah, I guess I have like a show tomorrow. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to show my pieces. I think sometimes like I find myself in a studio like way too much and be like really isolated, and I'll have this one day where I'm out and I'll see it and I'm like, okay, is this it? Like. So I guess I'm trying not to think so on too clear at like spectrums. But yeah, that's me. Contradictions, but what do you think?
Your show is in the chat, right?
Yeah.
Get it again.
Yeah, it's on Canal Street. If anyone wants to check it out, it's pretty cool.
It's on Le Spinovre.
Yeah, Le Spinovre.
But you said Canada Gallery?
Yeah.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's not in Canada. It's
no,
in Tribeca.
It's
oh, sorry. No, I wish. Hello, I'm Danielle. A few weeks ago, I talked about not knowing how to necessarily define myself. Obviously, but I've made art my whole life, but I no longer identify being called an artist. I do a lot of studio visits. I make exhibitions and stuff. And obviously, most of the time at studio visits, it's very much about the other person. And, you know, I have my way about doing it, whatever. And obviously, the conversation always rolls into just like friend talk. And then I did one a couple weeks ago, and it still has been sort of sitting with me and this artist really got into why I stopped making art. And like, there are some like more concrete reasons, and then there's some more abstract reasons. Anyways, started making some art. Feels pretty fucking good.
Hey.
Nothing great. And I weave and I crochet, and I've never stopped doing that, but I don't think that that's art. I just have like really bad ADHD, so I just like will crochet tubes all night. Like, I'll probably crochet a long ass tube tonight for like 3 hours and then just undo it at the end and then do it again the next day. But yeah, and I've started to, I don't know if I should give it away. It's starts like weave with wires and it kind of looks cool. So, okay, thanks guys. Which is something I have done before, and I've woven with, you know, like rocks and like stones and like 3D printed stuff and then woven together and stuff like with photography, but we're getting wires. And maybe I'll have you have it come to life yourself.
Hi everyone, I'm Shosh. It's my second time here. Happy to be here. sort of touching, adding on to the relevancy of labels. I guess there's a question to anyone here. I mean, like, I feel like going to design school or art school, and we have all of these separate majors for all of these separate things. I was reading this article lately about how like sort of the split of creativity into different majors sort of comes from academia, traditional academia, from the sciences, where like people are trying to specialize in like microscopic biology of stem cells in the heart. You know, and that was coming from the place of, oh, how can I be the only couple people that are doing this so I can get a PhD in a top university because I'm a top researcher now because I'm the only one. But like, I feel like art schools have adopted that model fairly too quickly, and now it's like, I don't know, at least kids that go to fashion school don't really think of like design or art beyond the medium, and I feel like that's something that frustrated me a bit going to school. It's just like, okay, I went to school for industrial design. I want to do things beyond, and the curriculum and the way education and art is structured now doesn't necessarily facilitate that. So I feel like, you know, like, how are you guys feeling about like the way that we've sort of added jurisdiction to creativity? Does that make sense at some places? Or, I don't know, something that's been on my mind for a while now. But then when you say, oh, you're a multidisciplinary artist designer, it sort of waters down everything that you do. So, I mean, that's something I've been thinking about a lot. So I just go with designer these days.
Well, you and me literally just had this conversation. Like,
yeah, exactly,
ago,
yeah.
And, but it's weird because, you know, I was asking you that question.
Yeah.
Shosh's going to be in my next exhibition next month. Y'all better come.
Very excited.
But it's also like, why am I asking you that? Because people are going to ask me and I have to label you.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
And I don't love that. But I also want you to be like a part of that decision making. Which we were talking about last week, about having other people pitch
how
you, label you, how would it be?
Oh,
I feel
that's
like
cool.
If you do everything, you do nothing at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that stems, like you said, like from academic. Like you have to know exactly what you do, even like as an artist, what kind of part do you make, what period are you making it from, what's the material.
Can you be a maker without being an artist?
I feel like that comes from like the Western art canon.
Oh, yeah.
Though, like, would it. Black Mountain College, I feel like, is like an example in the U.S. But like, I don't know. I feel like when you look at like weaving and like the Global South or like other places, art, these have like all of that is not held in the same
like it's
silo.
Not the same tierage,
yeah.
Like it's craft.
We
yeah, because I feel because I do like craft
right.
work, but it's fine art because
yeah.
I went to school for it.
Right.
You know.
Totally. Do you think it would be if you hadn't? Like, do you think it's like the technique that it makes it?
I think it's like the 10,000 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
I
know,
think
the intention
context.
Behind it too, you know?
That too.
Intention.
Yeah, intention. Because I also think it's interesting when you talk about like labels as well, because I think the reason that labels exist is to give somebody like an access point to what you're
yeah.
saying or doing.
Yeah.
Right? So if Danielle's going to pitch you, she might pitch you to one collector or person in this light, but then she knows that this other person specializes in something else, so she
that's
can
definitely
pitch you a little
what it
bit different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That
so I think for myself, as a multidisciplinary, whatever, like,
yeah,
fuck,
yeah.
you know what I mean? It's like, if I meet somebody at a music show and I want to write with them, I'm going to tell them I'm a musician.
Mm.
But if I meet somebody in a different context, I'm going to tell them that I do the other thing that is going to relate more to what they might want to hear. Because I think so many, also today, is like, you get 2 minutes with somebody.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you going to waste those 2 minutes trying to like explain the bullshit in between your work? Or are you going to give the access point? Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, it's corny,
sense.
But it also is the only thing that really matters. And then when you have a coffee or a studio visit and you can chat for longer, then you can lay it all out there. But it's like, I love the fact that somebody meets me as a musician and then 3 weeks later they follow me on Instagram and like, what, you do that thing too? Okay, that's
right,
sick.
Right,
you
yeah,
know,
it's
so
it later. It's like if they ask.
Exactly, but it's also,
like,
I think it's just to the point of like, only think about it as much as you need to, and then let it go. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't really matter what you're labeled as.
And you can label yourself as all of them, you know what I'm saying? You could be whoever. But
I also like the idea of describing like the action rather than like labeling. It's not like, oh,
yeah.
I'm a queer indie guitarist. Like, no, I make music.
Right.
Yeah. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff.
What do you do, Jeff?
I'm a painter. I do paintings. I've been doing it a long time. And I work with color and grid and pattern. And painting gives me a sense of meaning and purpose. And some meditation. And the finished products, just a manifestation of all that. So I wasn't going to say much today, but that's about all I wanted to say.
That's a perfect thing to say.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
My name is Tasha. I don't know. I painted my living room. I started doing like a series of acrylics. I worked with, because I'm so used to illustration and like doing it my way with ink, black and white, very, very detailed, and it takes forever. And then I worked with somebody last night, a mentor, that totally like pushed the line with acrylics. Like I couldn't draft at all, and I had this really cool experience, and it changed the way I kind of like am approaching color and approaching the work. And I thought it was really cool. It makes me want to get involved in more art programs and like apply for different things around the city. To kind of explore. That's kind of the energy I'm getting involved in. Just like a basement recovery art show on Friday, just like dropping a piece of work that kind of defines, because I'm also in recovery, I'm sober, and it's cool. It's been an interesting 8 months being back in New York sober and like just like jumping like right into like art and like doing what I love after, you know, 2 years of like doing something else. And I just feel like, yeah, so like I just had something to say, you know, and I'm still interpreting that work from before I got sober and clean. And it's obviously it's changing. Like my ideas are changing, the vision is changing as I do it and as I get bigger, because at the end of the day I think my my illustrations are really drafts for something bigger. It's just so that I can see the lines and see the anatomy or whatever I'm trying to describe. And like, yeah. And that's about it.
I wanted to add, yeah, intoxication used to or consciousness expansion. Substance use used to play a role in my creative process.
Not anymore?
Well, there was a period about 10 years I had to learn how to paint without getting stoned, like smoking weed, and I did that, but then I kind of dipped my toes back into substance use, and then I was kind of swimming in it on and off. And now in about 6 years I've been, but I find the act of painting very intoxicating, and I'm able to tap into all of the stuff that I thought, oh wow, you know, artists alter their consciousness and gain inspiration or whatever from you know, mystical states, drug induced and or otherwise.
Right.
But it's all there in your mind, you know.
Exactly.
I'd say the substances become, you know, if I was painting, I'd be like, oh God, I gotta have a bong head, or gee, I want to go out and you know, have a trip this weekend or something. It's I've reached a point where that's not a great option and it's not necessary.
That's I think the biggest thing is like the unnecessary piece of it. It's like you always need something to like start. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that, and then I'm good. It's like there will be a time where you won't be able to have that. You know what I mean? So
like when it turns into a reliance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's nice system, but not like dependent thing that you can be of. So
it maybe show you the path, but it is
The
path. But it isn't the path. Exactly.
Yeah. Your artwork is the path.
Like you say,
you know, a lot of rock stars, you know, Jimi Hendrix or whatever, I mean, their music was amazing and it was intricately tied with their drug use.
But don't you look at that though and go, God damn it, I just wish that I had 80 more years of Jimi Hendrix playing the fucking guitar.
Yeah.
No.
You know,
well,
it's so perfect and so concise.
I'm afraid the music he might have been making by now.
Sure.
Because a lot of those guys start making shitty music.
But you know what I mean, though. Right? Like, I think, yeah, I mean, I think it ebbs and it flows. I don't know if there's a...
I just think you can reach that.
I agree. That's where I'm.
And like, I'm not the, but like, you know, I'm only 2 weeks, but it's like there's times where like I was doing it every day. I was drinking every day, and it would like build this confidence. And like, there's times where I have level of serotonin where I'm like skipping home, and I'm like, I'm sober as a fly. It's like, it does exist. Like, it really does exist, for sure.
Yeah, I think. Well, it's about like exploring like the consciousness, like the nature of it. So when people take like LSD, it's like you get unlocked this it does it chemically, but you don't know the concepts to organize the experience. And you don't know the like this ways of doing it without the drugs, like meditation and all that stuff and like making art. But also I don't necessarily think like going the straight and narrow way is good for making art. Maybe experiencing all that chaos is good for making art, because maybe when you do it in a straight and narrow way, you're not going to be inspired to do anything because it's going to be very calm.
But so, it's like after the chaos, once you have a clear mind, you can like look at that chaos and really like build from it. If you're always in the chaos, and this is just, it's all different, but it's like I'm at a point where I'm looking back and I'm like, oh, fuck. No. But I'm in a clear state to like really organize those.
No, I think it's a balance of it.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
That's how you create a composition. Like, and yeah.
Speaking of a balance, like in the interest of time, because we only have an hour in these meetings, so I want to hear from everyone too. So,
okay.
I'm just saying, like, I want to hear from everyone today. So
it's good.
Daniel. I mean, that like really segues. I came from a sound bath, which was like really fucking deep, bro. Like, I don't know, I think I was asleep or like not asleep for a second, and then I knew I was gonna be a little late, so I like gave myself that time, but then I hopped on my bike and I was like cycling over the bridge, and like that shift state from like completely blissed out to like literally like almost Kundalini style breathing, like trying to get over that bridge, and then coming back in here and like my heart's still beating and still breathing. I don't know, the conversation feels aligned because I was thinking a lot about like consumption. Mm-hmm. Like, I know everyone's like life force is like so cheesy, but it reminds me of like, you know, taking a drop of LSD and it's like the nectar, whatever, is like a similar thing I'm feeling right now to like, oh, the air in my lungs, whatever. But I think you brought up a good point about the clarity and the chaos. Like, I think that I love chaos, like Aries, woo, but there's like an integration period that I feel like is really important for me, like to carve out that space. Like running around all day and then to have an hour to just like soak everything in and then back into it. And, you know, I know tonight I'll like have a few minutes before bed or whatever, but I don't know. I think I do agree. I think chaos is great for life and like art and pain, whatever, but taking a deep breath is good too.
Did anybody see Dune 2?
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty wild movie.
Fucking gnarly.
So good.
Yeah. You're talking about the nectar of life.
I'm so out of it.
Yeah, I mean, what Jake, what you were talking about, like that natural euphoria. Yeah, it does happen when you're sober.
Yeah.
You just gotta be sober for a while.
Yeah.
Like to have your brain all kind of reset and all that.
Yeah, get this all imbalance in your brain, like,
right.
Figure it out.
Like what
right.
You're saying, it's just taking a breath, it's a breather. Your brain needs to breathe.
Yeah, yeah,
once
yeah.
You breathe, you're like, okay, that wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. But
bad.
The natural chaos happens too.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
It does.
But, I mean, I find when I make art, I just kind of wait it out,
mm-hmm.
Right? Just kind of let the chaos come, just embrace it, just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I'm done, I start making art, and it's the coolest shit I've made in months.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, my brain was kind of like taking that time to kind of put all the pieces back together. And then once I'm there, I just make that shit. And me and James had an idea. We were selling the t-shirts at the fair, at the flea market thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jake was there as well. And we had the idea, speaking of which. We had the idea of, like, you know, if any member of the group has any, like, spare designs that they just never used. This is the cash, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, just get this solution.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So if anyone has any designs that they're not really planning on showing, it's just kind of a thing to kind of get out of your head. Just put that on a t-shirt and have that shown at the next fair. Because this was the first fair that we had done, and it just opened up. So if anyone has any designs that they're willing to use at the moment, slap them on a shirt, sell
yes.
It as STP merch.
Yeah. That's a really good rule of thumb as well, is like STP is like genuinely an umbrella. Like, the group is what makes STP so special, is like, if you have designs, if you have art, you wanna do a show, we'll partner with you, period. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We'll put stamp of approval from Serving the People on top of whatever that is.
Let's
and
do
so,
a show.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean, we've tried to, I think over the last year, there's been like people being like, let's do a show, and it hasn't gone somewhere. So if there is like actual momentum, it's all within the world of making this happen. And like Lucian and the other people involved in STP have some incredible connections to like, and also we have incredible connections literally just in this room. So if there's something you want to do, bring it to the table. People will jump on board to get it going. So that's a great point, Rob. Thank you for sharing.
I don't have anything to say, really. I don't know. I've just been working in the studio. And yeah, I got a big gumball machine filled with little babies and guns. And I think all the paintings have to do with that. That's about it.
So you're painting a gumball machine with guns and babies in it?
No, it's a real gumball machine.
Yeah, real
guns. Mini babies and guns. It had to be a really big gumball machine. The real ones, but
for any of you who doesn't know, his work deals a lot with violence. That's
yeah. I guess I made the gumball machine because I was thinking about. I was like, how many kids are there in the U.S.? And I don't know the numbers up to like 70 million. And then whatever the proportion is, like the amount of guns, just legal guns, in the U.S. is like 5 times more than just kids. So like theoretically, like, if you're on the train, you see like 5 kids, like. Statistically, like in the US, that would be like 5 piles of guns. So then I put that ratio into the gumball machine.
Really, really great.
But I don't know. I've been thinking about that. I think that's kind of funny.
It's very clever.
It is clever.
That's all I got.
Thanks, buddy.
Jackson. So I'm at like 225 portraits.
Ooh.
So,
yeah,
I still need. I did my family like last week. He's like 99, and yeah, just see where this journey is going to take me.
1,000 guest checks, baby.
It's a cool project.
Let's go.
Did you show your grandma the picture after it was drawn?
No, not yet. I just did it.
Mike?
I've been fighting allergies. I don't know if anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Puffy eyes, runny nose. Under this mask, you don't want to know. which is funny because I'm going hiking next week. I don't know how that's going to work out for me. But I'm determined.
And it's all humid out too, so it's even harder to breathe in.
Bruh. Don't get me started. But other than that, I'm chilling. I'm chilling.
You're facing this shit. You're going hiking. Like, why would anybody like psych for this shit? But you're doing it.
Build some tolerance.
Yeah,
it'll be good.
That's what they tell
that
me.
Pollen.
Have some honey too. Have some local honey from like the Hudson Valley.
Really?
Yeah. If you have local honey, as local as possible. I don't know if there's any bee sanctuaries in New York City. I'm sure there is. I feel like that's something.
Yeah.
But yeah, get some honey from there.
I'm on the rooftop.
New York City pollen is no joke.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. My name's Allie. I'm an artist. I think I've been happy, high energy, and it doesn't feel like a manic state, which sometimes I get into, and I'm just trying to like milk the manic state for all its worth, for lack of better words, but I just think I've been really organized with my train of thought lately, and I feel like I'm circulating through all of the different mediums I work in and touching base on all of them and reviewing my ideas, and it feels good. It feels like I'm pushing things forward. But I wanted to touch base on the academic thing because I think about that a lot. I'm in art school right now. I'm a bit older than the traditional undergrad student, but I feel like there's a broader issue also attached to what you're saying. I constantly think, and I don't want to say age, but I think life experience and then just in general, the age that you go into college at 18, you know, you're between 18 and 21, I feel like it's such a hindrance, especially in art programs, to push, you know, the average aged undergrad student into really hyper-focusing on a certain medium without any life, like real life experience, which again is definitely subject to the person. But I think about that all the time, especially being in school for a second time, and how the first degree I got, I went in as a BFA and ended up switching to something else. But then, you know, I think about it now and with living life outside of you know, just kind of finding your way and trying things out and then going back to art school. And it's funny because I'm kind of able to digest the recommendations from, you know, it's not even so much professors, but advisory to, you know, lean towards one or two mediums. And it's kind of like, okay, well, like I'm not going to do that but it's because I have the intention, with being there. And not only was I interested in getting an art education, but I was interested in using it as more of a resource, mm-hmm. While, you know, trying to be a working artist. So I don't know. It's really, it's really interesting to me, and I feel sometimes for these younger students who, I just feel like they don't have enough life experience, and the broader issue is education in our country, you know, telling you that's the way to go. But I don't know, I'd be interested to hear like what kind of initiative could take place to try and change that, especially with art students, because I think if you have the innate ability to be artistic and creative, you're already kind of at odds with the structure of our country. Go ahead.
I think it might depend on the program. I studied photography in undergrad, and I had a few classes that were dedicated to multimedia stuff, but even in our regular like major photo classes, you were allowed to do other things. And if you were called to that, you were encouraged to do so. And that's how I sort of found like other mediums, was kind of through those photo classes. People would still like critique them, but so I think that they do exist. But just depends maybe on what program were you in?
I'm at Hunter College. I think that it's not so regimented there. I see it though. You know what I mean? Like I think when someone's a little bit more or lacking direction, it's like, oh, well, this is what you're good at, do this. And it feels like you're on such a time crunch.
School is like a time crunch.
It's like every week. Yeah. Do you have stuff to do every week?
Not necessarily. it's just different. It's been different I just got back into school last fall, so I'm still kind of sussing it out. But it's interesting to see, especially because I was that young student who just like didn't have any direction, and definitely, I mean, you learn something with everything you do, but my first time in school, it wasn't really helpful towards, you know, being in a career that felt fruitful to me.
But I think so much U.S. America and New York City, because it's the U.S. American education system, because it's so much money,
mm-hmm.
on the one,
mm-hmm.
New York City, because it's so little time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have those two forces drilling on pretty much everyone, especially young people. And then actually the space of creation, which needs space and contemplation and just breathing air in any direction. I think it's really hard to understand or to create your own practice within those frames. So it's just extremely confining.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing my undergrad in Europe and it was way more free. Now I'm doing my master's here. But I think it was very crucial to all of us that there's just a space and you can do whatever. So first I was very kind of shocked and bummed because they literally can say, do whatever. But then it takes a few days, maybe weeks, and then you understand actually there's free space and you can create from inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's needed, I think.
Mm.
Just understand, if you go to a studio and you materialize nothing, and maybe you have one bad thought and you go home again, it's all right. And you didn't lose something. And if you're here, it's, you know, I think maybe one day, if you calculate it into money, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a tricky system.
Yeah. Just to piggyback off what you guys are talking about, I teach photography at a high school. And just like what you said, in the DOE system, and especially what Danielle said, it always depends on the program.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because the way I teach my class, I teach it in a very free way, where it's photography, the technical aspect, the theoretical aspect, but it's also self-discovery. So I'll weave in things that help the students define themselves.
That's what's lacking, definitely.
Right.
That I can observe,
mm-hmm.
is the encouragement to go out and experience things. And it is definitely subject to who's teaching, who's the professor. But that in tandem with like the time crunch, I feel like is.
Yeah. Especially in New York is like.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. But are you in the foundation courses at this point?
No, I'm in all the studio courses.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't, there's not too many at Hunter. There's two you have to take. I mean, I wouldn't say, I think I've had a really great experience at Hunter College. All of my educators, I couldn't say enough good things about, but everything's pretty broad and open-ended as far as what you're doing in the classes and making what you want. I think I'm speaking to just like the observations I make with these younger students, and when they don't have the direction, they're encouraged to like narrow what they're doing, and I don't think that's good.
We have about 15 minutes.
Sorry.
Left. No. It's all good discussion. All good discussion. Just want to keep in mind. So.
Okay. So,
you guys have me thinking about, you keep bouncing around and I just, but about the labels, I, just another point of view, I embrace the label of painter. I also think that there are differences in privilege, but sometimes the label can be like reframed and kind of owned in a different way, and you can use it. You can say, I'm this, and this is what this means to me. Mm-hmm. And it can be empowering. And also, I think labels can connect you to histories. And if you want to say something about the history, or if you want to kind of engage that art history, that can be very deep and enriching. So, you know, it's all how you, there are many factors, but I think there's definitely some, you know, ways of playing with labels as an artist that can also be helpful. Like, just, yeah, it can be helpful to someone who doesn't know. It's like, yeah, I'm a painter, and also maybe my paintings are pretty sculptural. So I'm like, okay, but I'll just tell them I'm a painter, and then they can kind of look at the work and they say, oh, well, I guess a painting can be, you know, have relief, mm-hmm. or whatever. So, yeah, that's my 2 cents.
Great.
On the labels.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
But yeah, I'll talk more next time.
I'm back.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I guess like, piggybacking off of that really fast, I think everyone has like their own universe inside, so maybe like labels could be seen as like a door within the universe inside that you like step into, like maybe like, oh, like right now I'm gonna be a chef because I'm gonna cook some food, and that could be like it's like different dimensions and like, anyways. I have different projects that I'm working on, and one that I'm really excited about is like a podcast that I'm starting, and it's basically like highlighting, I'm gonna be like the ad lib in a way, like it's focused on my friend, and I think she has a lot of wisdom. She's like Buddha. I think she's like my own personal Buddha. I really think she's like Buddha incarnated. I wanna have her be like the face of it and like the star of it. And cause I can do all the editing and I can like do the branding, and I'm really excited cause it took like a year. We started this project a year ago just to practice, and she was really nervous. We were both like really nervous to record episodes, and I think it took a year for us both to get comfortable. So I think I'm just like archiving everything, like just like, so then when I, so that way we can just like dump it out like slowly, without feeling like freak, like I don't know, like being comfortable with
pressure,
like, good, yeah, no pressure, just like building up and like content. We want to go like just dump it on everyone.
The whisper.
Like everywhere.
100%. Thank you. We're excited for it.
Without that much time, but I got a lot to say, and since the last meeting was kind of like not talking one, so it have accumulated. So my bad. I got 3 topics to like cover up, but I'll be really quick. So speaking about the being under the influence and create art, I think that it has a big role to play, but also once you're sober, you can look at the things from the different perspective and kind of like be more, more productive, more under, like having it under control. Plus, you already have some kind of set of skills that you gained, so, yeah. But then is the other thing that I've been thinking about, this chemical imbalance in your brain and what actually makes you go for, like, being under the influence. There can be 2 different reasons, either have fun or you go through some bad times that you want to just escape. So let's say like a year ago, I was going through some bad times and I was feeling like extremely bad, and I stayed sober all the way until I felt normal. So, and I did not jump on this like escape pill, you know, to just like whatever to save myself. So, and now like I, like a month, I hit recently hit 30, and that kind of like synced with me feeling okay again, and I started drinking and smoking and all the stuff, but I take it from the perspective that I'm feeling okay, but I'm just having fun. So, and that's kind of like makes me feel okay about doing that. But at the same time, since like the month passed, I feel like it's time to slow down a little bit, because lately I've been picking up a lot of work and just overwhelming myself with a lot of stuff, and if there's more opportunities, more doors opening to me, and I want to take it all, but I know that I can't handle it all. So it's been the last week, like three days, three nights, I did not sleep to just finish work and then to not go to bed and then go straight to work again. Like, it's been a cycle that is kind of messing me up right now. So, and it's from the other side, I don't want to let nobody down, because if you promise some shit to get done, so kind of like this, but I still have enough, you know, reserved energy to like keep it going that way, or maybe change something to kind of like, you know, say to somebody like a little bit later or whatever. But yeah, then, yeah, there's just a lot of stuff. I've been feeling kind of like fucked up, but happy at the same time. Yeah.
Thank you, Jerome.
Thanks everyone for coming. And thanks Spring for coming. Spring is there. So nice.
Yeah. Not really today, is it?
I love it. Today was amazing.
Today
was
amazing.
Today was
amazing.
That's your amazing?
Oh yeah.
I would change
it. I love golf.
It's blooming. So I feel very, very reborn. A lot of running, a lot of cycling, being out, being with friends. Life's good again. Life's been bad the last weeks, because I was sick, and then I realized, fuck, I can't cover my tuition, I can't work, I'm kind of trapped, I'm stuck. And I was sick at the same time under antibiotics, I was feeling kind of like nothing. But then again, major lesson is, friends as social security. They're always friends, support there, so it doesn't matter so much the financial situation, because they're friends who kind of hold you, always, will be. But important reminder, always to have in the back of your mind, and I know if you're feeling like shit, you don't want to reach out to friends and so, but you're just you, and your friends are happy to be there for you, even if you feel bad, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm back, it's great. We're going to have a show 11th May with Funto. Two shows got confirmed for September. Woo. So,
hell yeah.
That's it.
And Monday dinners.
Exactly, and Monday dinners. So,
what program are you in? Masters?
Ooh. Yeah, we're doing our grad, Daniel and me, at Pratt.
Pratt?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to do?
We're half of the program.
Real.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like
so, you can imagine us.
And
Monday dinners. So, we took a break because I was ill, but almost every Monday we'll be hosting community donation based dinners at somebody's home, warm, welcoming, good food.
Is it like potluck based, or is it like one person?
It's pretty potluck based. James always brings his marvelous potatoes.
Famous potatoes.
They're famous now.
You guys gotta be there to try it.
Somebody's got a journal about it, so then in 40 years when they're really famous, they can write it in the memoir, and then it'll be a whole thing.
You know what? We'll make it at food.
Ooh.
Right. Exactly.
That's my boy right there.
Yeah.
Lee should be signed on Friday.
Okay.
Wow.
Anyways. Thank you, man. Ben.
Thank you.
So I have been having like a blowout philosophical and psychological conversations with AI, just talking about different things. But I went over some of the things that you guys were talking about, like language and labels. So like we go back to like beyond language, how language captures how language is always like work in progress. It's like it's adjusting to the environment, to our understanding of things, and the process we have in our environment, like certain way of like labeling off, but the label is never like it's not fixed. It's always like it's always dynamic. Mm-hmm. So with the question that you had, it's like it's understanding that the labels are it's like you have to understand what the labels refer to, but then you can work with it in a certain in the way that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about understanding the language of it and then working it in a way that that's like attunes to your process. So I was like, I don't know, I was just thinking about these things, language. So yeah, like even in terms of like before there was language, like how was our experience like with the cave paintings, and then the experience came with our wars, and then like and then you think about like Zen, like the experiencing things without notions of your experiencing, you're just in a flow state, which is also like athletes. When you're in a flow state, you just, after you acquire the skill, it's, you're just experiencing it and you already develop the skill. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the psychology, notions of like unconscious unknowing and conscious unknowing. And then it would transfer to conscious knowing and then unconscious knowing, which is like, it becomes like effortless.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
The technique that's like.
Wait, could you repeat that one more time? Conscious?
So first you don't know that you don't even know, so it's unconscious unknowing. You don't even know that you don't know. But then somebody says something to you and then you forget, oh, I don't know this, so you're conscious of it, so that you know that you don't know. and then you're like, oh, okay, I should learn about it.
So now that you know that you know.
But then after you practice it, you're like, oh, okay, it's like,
it's unconscious.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. with his scripts, everybody will talk about it, like other actors that act with him. When he first gets a script, he learns the dialogue as quickly as he possibly can so then he can forget it and make choices.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll basically like digest really, really quickly and he'll have the entire script memorized by like day two of the entire 6 months of shooting. By 3 months in, he knows every line. He knows that after that person says that line, he's supposed to say what he's supposed to say. But that's why he's able to be so free in his choices. So I think that it is about that unconscious knowing of just like, you can just be there, you know?
That's really cool, because instead of just take the one task at once, you split it into different times.
Exactly.
So like you do it one day, the other, it's more productive.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's more memorizable.
And that's what gives him such a distinctive style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's choicey. You can tell he's choicey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he probably gives it to him 100 different ways,
mm-hmm.
you know? Baz?
Yeah, so I finally got through all that footage that I captured over, like, the 6 years from high school and first half of college that I have from Palestine. It was not 100 hours, which is kind of a bummer,
mm-hmm.
but it was, like, 86 and a half, so I'm pretty pumped about that. I got through it over the last 3 or 4 days. Yeah, basically. We'll see what happens this summer. Maybe I'll add to it. But I think through all of that, actually, it wasn't until like the very end of getting through all that film was basically I kind of realized what direction I wanted to take like my first little documentary creative piece in. So I'm pretty psyched that like I have like a direction and a mission that I'm going to pursue over the next month or so. So definitely in editing now and like cutting and dealing with all that, pain in the ass. But,
it's the best shit, though.
Yeah, it's actually pretty fun, like, getting back into the software and, like, relearning it and stuff, like, YouTube tutorials.
Like 6 years of footage to, like,
YouTube University.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a different
099. Yeah,
I've heard that.
What?
Stuff.
Of Palestine.
Yeah.
Of, like, interviews and stuff in Palestine,
man.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Like, specifically the direction I'm taking is someone who was in military detention for, like, 3 years and kind of juxtaposing that. The interview, it was, like, me recording an interview with somebody, and then literally in the other part of the house there was like a wedding party going on. So like I'm gonna try to like splice that footage together, and you know, kind of just like that juxtaposition of like something very heavy and something celebratory. But yeah, other than that, yesterday actually I'm one of many partners at a spot called Superiority Burger right across from the park.
Yeah.
And yesterday, Noma Projects came through, that like big restaurant from Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm.
So like they brought a bunch of different ingredients and the kitchen staff just got like super creative with like different recipes that they made basically like over the course of like 24 hours. So that was just like pure inspiration of like how quickly and like unique all these dishes were. Like they're already pretty creative, but it was very dope to see like a big name like that roll through. Really.
Amazing.
The response to it was nuts, like the lines were like around the blocks, and that was very cool to see.
Awesome, Beth, thank you.
Did you say you were in detention or you interviewed?
I interviewed someone.
Oh, okay, okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, I love this conversation about labels because kind of in January, I was like, I need to get serious and label myself so that I stop just like fucking around doing whatever. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be a video designer for live shows. And it worked out great, and I got to work on a lot of cool stuff. And now I feel like my creativity is atrophying. Like, even if I'm in the rooms that I want to be in, like, I'm doing the same thing. And I'm, like, not being helpful in that sense. So I'm really at a place where I want to diversify my artistic diet. Like, it's less about what I'm creating, but more just, like, okay, what am I consuming? Because I've kind of just been, you know, listening to the same music, watching the same Netflix shows that I've been watching since I was, like, in middle school, you know, and just, like, doing the same thing. So I'm trying to, like, get out there and, like, see new work of all different mediums. So everything you guys have talked about, like, I want to come to your shows and, like, invite me to your to everything so I can just get a lot of different stuff and, like, learn a wappy thing.
We're happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be here.
In the interest of time, I'm going to pass.
Hi, I'm also Claire, and I'm feeling pretty good. I also really enjoy this conversation. I think the label, like, but also leaning into how it can be very dynamic to just pull from different, like, not even mediums, but also, like, fields of study. I, like, am interested in spatial design and architecture, but, like, I work for, like, a biodegradable material company, and, like, am interested in how biodesign can, like, permeate so many different mediums of design, but also, like, it's very integrated just as its own, like, concept and, like, way of approaching design, like, nature-inspired design of all kinds. So anyway, I've, like, been doing, like, my own conceptual pieces and actually doing a lot of writing alongside drawing. And yeah, so I feel like a lot of what people have said today really resonated in terms of, like, you can also be like, I want to do architecture, but, like, I'm really interested in, like, you know, geology and, like, earth sculpture and, like, how can that, like, be integrated with architecture. So I don't know, I think I feel like I explore all those intersections, like, all the time, and, like, you can always pull from written research and, you know, and then your medium kind of just, like, becomes something that, like, involves all of it, I guess. So yeah, anyway.
Claire?
Thanks.
Haven't had me
here. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't been here in a few months, so happy to be here.
Hi. Dean. Yeah. I've been coming to the group a lot. I mean, well, as much as I can. I missed a lot, unfortunately, because I either get caught up in doing so many other stuff. But I miss coming here because I always learn from people, the group, and I'm glad to be here because I have to. I'm part of a gallery called Summertime Gallery in 145 Angeles Street in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. So, what they do is, like, I'm part of a board there too. So, I was on the board last night, and I was with the group, which is mostly women. I'm the second guy there. So what we talk about is raising money and finding ways to help the gallery to be known. And so they all, they had a lot of good ideas in the board meeting. One of the ideas was to help me to get out there to, like, meet people, get people together, and yeah, so that sounds like a good plan. I'm gonna do it, and one of the ways that I'm gonna do it is to get you guys. I talked about you guys, the group. I said, you know, part of this great group, and I was bragging about you guys. Yeah, I felt so good, because, yeah, let's talk about how, you know, this group of artists and by discovering themselves, by doing themselves. So what it is we're planning something free for you guys, you know, like a pop-up or something. Mm-hmm. You know, they're excited about that. So you guys are gonna be invited. I'm gonna try and find a way to put in the chat. Oh,
perfect.
Yeah. And then,
thanks, Dean. Thanks, Dean.
Happy back, man.
Dean. Cool cats.
I'll be short because we're like,
nah,
I feel
chilling.
Like we're running a little.
You're chilling. We'll go until they kick us out, okay?
All right, where are you?
Which is in like 20 or so minutes.
Okay. But I don't know, this topic today has felt like, I guess like the way this conversation's gone towards education, this felt like specifically relevant to me. Like I'm finishing up my first year of foundation in school and I'm like, I just started like a job on the weekends, like a shitty like minimum wage, like closing shift job. And I'm like, this is gonna be my life over summer. Mm. And I'm like contrasting like, I don't know, it just puts it into perspective in like a weird way that like my arts education is useful, but like to such like a specific and niche like world of people. And I think like, I don't know, it's just like something that like I'm wrestling with right now, I guess.
Is it impacting your work, do you think?
I think it's making me want to work more a little bit. Like I'm like, if it doesn't, like if it doesn't matter, not that it doesn't matter, but if it doesn't matter to like everyone in the way I wish it did, then I think I need to like make it matter to myself more. I
mean. Nice. That's good. That's really good.
But that's what's been on my mind.
So what you do?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm Taj. I've been enjoying the change of the weather. I'm wearing the green leaves and loving the April showers. But yeah, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. I feel like I'm gaining a lot of things, but I'm also losing a lot of things. And then I also feel like I've been having like these really great high moments, but also these low moments, and I'm trying to figure it out. But I'm trying to find balance within it all.
It's the eclipse.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like it's interesting. So recently, like back home, like there's things that have been happening to my family. Like we lost our neighbor, which has been a thing that's been on my mind. And like thinking about the moments I shared with them, and then like a week after that, I get like a message from my mom that like things got stolen from our house. So it's like these weird ups and downs, but it's like I'm here and they're there and I have no control of what really happens, or like I can't be in that space, I figure it out. So it's weird seeing things change when I'm not around. But yeah, I don't know, it's been trying to find balance and I'm enjoying the summer coming, I really am. I'm excited the warm weather to kick in.
You're gonna be in New York in the summer?
I'm gonna go back home.
You're gonna back home in summer.
But okay. I'll come back, you know, on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Thanks for your way.
Hi. My name's Sade. I don't really consider myself an artist, to be honest. Jacob thinks I'm an artist, so he's excited to be here.
She's an artist.
But yeah, art feels like a chore to me right now, and it's just hard to make things or feel like I want to make things. It feels like the setup by itself is like overwhelming me, trying to like get a cup of water and just stuff like that. So I don't know, I just haven't been really making things as often as I would like to, and yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I add one thing? Just because other people like throwing, I actually have, there's this thing called Pancakes and Booze, and they come around to Brooklyn, they go around the United States, but it is the 25th, and I'll be showcasing my work as well as doing a live painting. Great. And then the 27th, I'm actually going to be in a runway. And you can follow me on my Instagram, Art by Limbs, it's Smile Backwards, Art by Limbs. To stay updated, but yeah, I just wanted to add.
I wanted to add something too. I've been thinking lately about the past and the future a lot, and I come to the realization that what matters the most is the time being, like exactly right now, and to enjoy the moment and try to like, you know, be more present as much as possible. That's what matters the most. Past doesn't matter much. Future, whatever, but no, right now is better, so.
Perfect, no 10.
We are live.
Yeah.